Welcome back, friends. We're going to have Micah read Psalm 51, a prayer for cleansing and pardon.
Awesome. All right. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done that which is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified in thy sentence, and blameless in thy judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward being. Therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will return to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of thy deliverance. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou hast no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, thou wouldst not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good to Zion in thy good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then wilt thou delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on thy altar.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, so there's, of course, with sacred scripture, you know, different things hit us at different times, and mm-hmm. that's just the richness of them. Hyssop, I thought, was something maybe we could focus in on a little bit. It's a little shrub used for purification with blood and water given by the Leviticus precepts 14:1-7. Moses, so that's the first introduction we see with hyssop. And the next introduction we'll see is that Moses uses the branch of hyssop to apply the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb, on the lintel on the night of Passover. That'd be Exodus 12:21-22. And let's give a little tidbit there. Not all Jews left Egypt during Passover, and different scholars have different thoughts about how many stayed back. So that means not all of them put the blood of the lamb, and so some of them would have been visited by the angel of death. Lambs were one of the gods of Egypt, and if you killed it, they would have considered deicide, and you would have been the person who killed the lamb would have been killed. Mm-hmm. So to kill the lamb and put the blood up on the lintel makes a public declaration to anyone who's passing by your house that you are Hebrew. And mm-hmm. moreover, you're the Hebrews who are following the Lord, you know, hopefully out. And who had ever seen such a thing as a whole nation in Egypt, who had been in power for a couple thousand years, something like that. That was a big deal, putting the blood over the lintel. So I didn't want
to. I think we forget how much of a statement that was.
We really do. And so yeah. I couldn't help myself. And then the next encounter with Hyssop, of course, is during the crucifixion, when cheap wine or sour wine or vinegar, depending on your translation, it's soaked in a sponge and it's held up on a hyssop branch and the Lord takes it to his lips. And I think the ESV had the nicest translation. It was a jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. Again, that illusion of the Passover lamb.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, Psalm 51:2 goes straight into 2 Samuel 11-12, the Bathsheba story. So we can talk a little bit about the pathway for reconciliation that Dr. Schofield presents before us. And he breaks it down this way for, he sees, we have a sin and it's thoroughly judged before God, verses 1-6. Forgiveness and cleansing through the blood, verse 7. We have the cleansing process, verses 7-10. Spirit-filled for joy and power, verses 11 and 12. That then readies us for service, verses 13, and worship, 14-17, which brings us finally into restoration with Christ. And worship and service in Hebrew is similar. It's the exact same word, but I don't have my notes right before, but I know it's very similar. And right, the Exodus, let my people go so that they might worship me, that they might serve me.
Right.
Service and worship.
Yeah, they're tied together.
They're tied together, it's right.
I like that breakdown a lot of the pathway for reconciliation. Just to kind of go through it and explain how each of those connects to that.
Yes. Yeah. I did too. I thought it was very powerful. And then, I see I have some more books here. Some of the points, certainly with the sin of Bathsheba, I took from Walking with God, Tim Gray and Jeff Cavins. It's really nice when we're talking with the narrative events of sacred scripture. And of course, that is a companion book to this. The Bible timeline, the story of salvation. So that's a more of a program, but this is kind of the, well, it's not kind of, this is the book that is a companion to that. So that's where I got some of this information.
That's so cool. I love verse 8, where he says, fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Because it makes me think about that idea of consequence and the death and pain that comes from sin and how rejoicing can even still come out of that, you know,
that's
just this endless redemption going on despite our sin and falling short. There's still redemption.
That's right. So, okay. So some might say, well, is God causing, thou hast broken. And it's that same concept, hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Since we were talking about Exodus here not too long ago. It's right what scripture says and doesn't say is important. The same sun that can melt the wax, and I know this is an oft-used analogy, but I think it makes a good point. The same sun that can melt the wax can harden the clay. Mm. Not attending to what we should do in line with covenant with God does cause us pain. Is it God who did that, or is it not the individual's actions? It's the individual's actions, but right. God's there with the, you know, if you will, with the law or with the natural law, or he made us in a certain way, and that way is not open to just...
It's like chaos and order.
It is chaos and order. You know, a car is built in a certain way, and it requires certain things to operate correctly. Right. And when we don't, it won't. Same is true with the human person. The human person just... And there's that idea that, oh, I can be the source of my... I am my own creation, or I am my own God, or whatever. Like, and that's not...
Right, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Oh, beautiful, 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 beautiful. Oh, anything else that catches our eye?
Yeah, I think I just love how much biblical heroes are so, like, their dirty laundry is so aired, you know, where it's such a testament to the mercy of God, because so many of the primary characters in the Bible that are so important for the overall story and general, like just the broadness of it, we learn about their specific sins, you know, yeah, that are like really awful things. And then even still, we see a road out for them through the mercy of God. And then to see that all culminate in the story of Christ is such a, it's just such a beautiful representation to me of the invitation that's there for us.
That's right. Just I just keep coming back to this thought, the genealogy of opens up the Genesis, the new beginning, a new creation, that, you know, Genesis can be translated that way, of of Christ. And we see not Bathsheba, but the wife of Uriah listed. I have to look, maybe Tamar is listed, right? There's five women listed. Rahab, the harlot. And kind of take a look at our cast of characters. There's some really unsavory sorts there.
Right.
And the Lord is not surprised. The only one surprised as we are, he knows what right. we are, you know. And he can make good from that, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. I just love the idea of newness and the being made new through the Lord's mercy and our willingness to recognize our own sin.
That's right. Yeah, Tamar. Yeah, by Tamar. Remember Tamar, the sister who was raped? By the half brother and all of that. Right. So, all right. Good stuff. All right. Well, I think is that a place?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Good ending spot.
All right. All right, my friends. We look forward to the next time we can take a little bit of look of scripture. Till then, fides, the ratio.